Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Louisiana Uplifting Community Talk Show. Your host will be Miss Carla Serenity Baker. And I'm author John L. Brown. But before we get started, let me introduce you to your Louisiana host, Miss Carla.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Uplifting Community Talk Show Louisiana with your girl, Carla Serenity, making a difference. And I am excited today, ladies and gentlemen, we have the one and only Joe Sam, morning news anchor of Acadiana's KLAF and Community Development Coordinator. That's right, Joe. I'm putting it out there. CASA of Soleil, that means Southwest Louisiana. All you have to do, guys, is go to my Facebook page, Carla Serenity Baker, and take a look at that picture. That's it. That's all I'm asking you to do. And don't hang up. And listen to what this young man has to say. With all that being said, Joe Sam, tell us about who are you and what is it you're doing in our community?
Well, I definitely appreciate you for bringing me on to your show. I am absolutely thrilled. I do want to say that. And you guys, I absolutely love Ms. Carla. And I'm just privileged right now to just share with you information about myself and about how I can help you guys out and what you're doing in your endeavors. Now, I am from Opelousas, a native from Opelousas.
Hey.
I have been, yes, you got to give OP a shout out.
Okay. Well, bye, OP.
Yes, we really love our city. We love our town, our community. And that's why I made sure that after I finished college, going to Southern University, A&M College and University. It's absolutely an amazing place if you're ever thinking about going to college. Jaguar, going to give them a shout out as well.
Hey.
After graduating from college, I moved right into the industry, started working in broadcast television news, and then went to Florida. And after I went to Florida, came back down here to make sure that I served my community. And I've been anchoring for almost 7 years now, Carla. So it's been a long time. I'm young, but it seems like I've been doing this for forever. But
and
I'm
you're
excited.
So good
I'm only
at
27
it.
Years old. Right, only 27 what? Years old. And I make sure that I want to uplift the young African-American men in the community. That's my main purpose in life.
Okay, well, tell us, how are you doing that? What is it you're working on now? I know you're on the news every morning because, you know, I'm there too with you sometimes, so thank you for that. But tell us, what is it you're doing to uplift the community, the men in the community, because that's important. Men, we need you. So what about that?
Well, it's really important that we do that. And like you just mentioned, that's what my focus is. And I not only serve as the anchor for NBC here in Lafayette, KLAF, but I also am a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated.
Hi.
And so we strive for achievement in every field of human endeavor. And I made sure that once I crossed and once I became a part of that organization, that I wanted to focus on implementing a program that where I can use my talent to help others in different areas, different fields, whatever field you may go into. So the name of the program that I started, which I try and go to each different high school, it's called the Word Up Program, and it's a vocabulary enhancement program and speech impediment program to where we make sure that we excel and enhance their vocabulary, their language, and make sure that their speech is up to par whenever they go to different business settings or speaking with different business professions. Because you know, Carla, most of the time,
absolutely,
whenever we're speaking with our friends, we talk a different way, right?
I mean, that girl over there down the corner.
We use that Opelousas slang
okay,
whenever we talk. So whenever we get into so when we get into a business setting, that's when we need to know how to turn that switch off and turn on the business switch, turn on the proper language and the proper way to talk to business professionals so that you can adequately let them know what you're talking about and let your vocabulary be heard. And that's why we want to make sure that our young African-American men in the community know just how to do that, and that when they get in front of people, we don't want to be called ignorant anymore. We don't want to be called the young black child that doesn't have an education. So when we get in front of these people, we have to change that stereotype, and we have to let them know that we can compete and excel in any challenge that we're given.
Right, and I love it, Joe. And you just said something. We're both from Opelousas, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I used to get teased a lot when I was younger for speaking proper. I knew that I had to do that in order for me to be successful. And it's not, well, we have to be real with ourselves. And we have to, like you said, we have to understand there's a difference between you saying you can't go to an interview. Well, not, well, maybe some interviews here, not Lucy's, but most interviews you can't go in and say, hey, girl, I wrote this, I brought you my resume. Yeah, why you ain't calling me back?
Joe, I agree with you 100%. I been struggling myself with the proper English for a long time. And the reason for that is because that's the way I was raised. We say that, yeah, you know, yonder, over yonder, and all of that, you know. And that is very important. What you're doing, that is very important, because when I was growing, when I was coming up, I grew up in Lake Charles, but I was born in Lawtail.
My grandmother,
you know, my grandmother, you know, she couldn't read or write.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And my daddy couldn't read and write. You know, because they were sharecroppers in Lawtail. And I struggled for a long time to try to speak properly. And I still can't.
You're okay, John.
I can go and anywhere. And the first thing people say, you must be from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. You remind me of my sister in Pennsylvania. Thanks for that, John. But Joe, you and I were talking earlier, and you said something that was so profound, where you said that you was always the person you are today, but it was a little difficult growing up being the person that you are today. So why don't you tell us about that and how you overcame all the bullying and everything?
Yeah, it's always been a struggle because I never knew exactly how to dress. I didn't know how to speak to people. I always just put myself as the outcast. I wasn't really social in different settings, and that made me an easy target growing up throughout elementary school.
And
Opelousas, yeah, it's a tough place, and you definitely have to make sure that you don't become the target. And
I've
been that for so long. I mean, I grew up with, like most young African-American men, I've grown up without a father. I've always had a single parent. My mother, she always worked 3-4 jobs to make ends meet. So I didn't have the nice clothing that everyone else had. I know you guys remember back then, FUBU was one of the top things that everybody wanted to have, and I couldn't get that. I mean, I couldn't afford it. I couldn't get the type of recognition from my peers that everyone else was getting. I couldn't afford the brand new Jordans that came out. So I wore a lot of stuff from Goodwill and from thrift stores because that's all we could afford. I mean, I come from a family of 3, and my mother, she was a single mother, like I said, working 4 jobs to try and put food on the table. So to me, getting that food on the table was more important than displaying my popularity to my peers. And it was a struggle. I mean, I've been picked on. I've been beaten up. I was thrown into the restroom toilets. I mean, it was just a constant struggle. Yeah, I used to wear glasses as well. I can't tell you guys how many times my glasses were broken just because I wasn't the same as everyone else, just because I was a little different, quiet.
Well, that comes from a lot of insecurities amongst the people who are doing that. But I'm sorry, go on, Joe.
But, you know, and like you just mentioned, that it was insecure of them, but I didn't know that at the time. I just felt as if, you know, this is something that my type of person goes through, the type of person that I was portraying goes through. And it was hard for me to break that. But then at one point in time, I just had to stand up and say, you know what, this all has to change. So if I'm going to go ahead and become something that because I didn't want to put on a show for them, I wanted to make sure, because that's what I started doing. I started to continue looking for things to please other people, and I wasn't pleasing myself. And it came a point in time where I said, you know what, enough is enough. I have to please myself rather than pleasing them, because they're not going to get me where I need to go. So it doesn't matter how much they clown me or how much they pick on me. it comes a point in time where you have to stand up for yourself and say to yourself,
that's right,
you're beautiful no matter what, and no one else can tell you different. So it's a struggle getting there, but trust and believe, if you have God in your life, it's going to get you to that point.
Yes.
And you just have to have that strong faith that no matter what, you're going to be okay. And that's what helped me through it all.
Well, guess what, Joe? Ladies, I will say this again. All you have to do is go to his Facebook page, Joe Sam, or you can go to my Facebook page, Carla Serenity Baker, and look at that picture that I chose. He's looking in your soul. So I thank those people for having you go through your test in order for you to have your testimony, because you would not be the man you are today you are a blessing. So it's a blessing.
Thanks.
Oh, yes, and I know. Where'd you go? OHS? Opelousas High? Where'd you go?
East? Northwest High School.
Northwest? Hey, one and the same. I was OHS, and if I was to put a picture up, I pray to God nobody ever find my picture. Lord, if I was to put a picture up of Carla, that's how they used to call my name, Carla Baker from middle school, high school, I have to shut the internet down.
Exactly. And you know what? That's what a lot of people have, those type of pictures. And I'm speaking about this now because we're seeing it recently. I mean, I just finished reporting a story the other day about bullying in Opelousas, bullying in our community. And now a lot of people are standing up, and I've become really instrumental with standing by those organizers. They're coming up with different plays, creative things that they can do to get the word out to stop bullying and stop, because, some people aren't as strong. Some, I just mentioned having that strong faith, but some people just they can't make it through. And then what's the result of that? They end up committing suicide. They end up, not feeling that they're not loved, they're not worthy of being here on this earth, they're not worthy of this life that God has given them, and then they commit suicide. And the people who do this to these people, they don't understand the things that the people that they hurt go through. So that's why I definitely want to make sure that we voice that out in the community, especially in the community of Opelousas.
Well, you let me know whenever you're doing it again, and we're there. John and I with Uplifting Community, we are there to support you. I also would like for you to give out your website, if you have one, to the listeners so they can go on there and support you as well, because I'm pretty sure your story, my story, John's story, we are not the only story that needs to be heard when it comes to moving forward from bullying. People think that we just rose like this, that we've always been like this. No, we've gone through something.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of going through something and overcoming something and also blessing others with it, tell me, how did you get involved with CASA?
Well, CASA, of course, if you guys don't know it's such a strong place in my heart that I have for it. It stands for the Court-Appointed Special Advocates of South Louisiana. And there's a CASA nationally. There's one in every town, every city. And what we do is we advocate for children who have been abused and neglected and placed into the foster care system. And before I knew nothing about it, Carla, Mr. John, I knew nothing about this organization. So while I was going through what I was going through, my brother gave, he and his girlfriend gave birth to my amazing nephew, and he was just the shining light. And, of course, I don't have the time right now to have kids, but if I would have a kid right now, that's exactly the type of kid that I would want. And he just made he put a smile on everyone's face. He was just the perfect child. When my brother and his girlfriend went through their struggles and their trials, they didn't take it out on each other. They took it out on him. And we tried to get him removed from out of his girlfriend's home, my brother, my mom, everyone, and we just couldn't seem to do that. And the last day we were getting ready to go bring him to a birthday party, and the mom made sure she got the police involved, and they came remove him from out of our home. And he had begged us to stay. We begged her to let us keep him for the birthday party. The next week, he was found dead. And and he was 2 years old, died at the age of 2 years old. And it was just, it was such a blow. And I couldn't function. I couldn't think. I couldn't understand the concept of how could this happen to a young child. And it was just something that I still get a little trippy about talking about it now because it's such it's still a soft spot.
Yeah.
That's hard for me to talk about.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but you know what? I made sure that after that happened that it became a mission of mine to make sure that not another child was involved in a situation like this. And Alan Costa, that was the perfect way for me to advocate for children in foster care and to uphold my nephew's life and his and what he went through. And that was the perfect way for me to do so. So now it's just been really a place for me to go and fight for children and make sure that we have other community members involved in this concept to make sure that they are fighting and advocating for children in foster care because it's an issue that we don't really talk about, you guys. You know,
that's
it's
right.
an issue that people are afraid to talk about because it's such a dark story. These kids are locked in closets most of the time, locked in basements. Oh, they don't get a chance to eat. And this is a way for you to voice out and say, we need to put a stop to this here. And that's what we do in CASA.
Okay.
Wow.
Well,
that's
again,
great.
Really sad tragedy that has happened to your family. I'm so sorry that has happened. So, again, give out the name and how we can help, how the listeners can help with that part of being able to move forward with healing as well, not just for your family but for families that are dealing with that. So where would we go to support you, Joe?
You can contact me by any means on Facebook. I'm on KLAF Joe Sam. You can also contact me by email, joseph@costaofsolo.org. If you want to help out with any of these efforts, any of the efforts that I'm fighting with for helping kids with speech problems or helping them expand their vocabulary or even making sure that we put a stop to bullying and a stop to child abuse and neglect, you can contact me on all of those sites, and you can make sure that you I'm on all the social media platforms, so it's real
okay.
easy to find me. Just type in Joe Sam, and you'll be able to look me up there.
Great. Okay. Yes. And I'll also be posting and promoting it as well. Now I have a fun question for you.
Okay, cool.
What made you pledge Kappa Alpha Phi?
That was a decision.
Yeah.
And you know what? Don't you guys know I have nobody in my family that's Greek?
Oh, wow.
It was something that came upon me where out of nowhere. I was. If you guys know, there's the Bayou Classic that happens every year in New Orleans, Louisiana. And that's when Southern University and Grambling State University compete for that championship title there. But then there's the Battle of the Bands and the Greek Show the night before the big game. And seeing these guys come on stage, I didn't know who they were, but I mean the vibe that I got from them, and it's the aura that I received after their performing. It's a certain type of energy. I can't explain it that you receive when you watch such excellence on stage of African American men. And
I've seen it does give you quite a feeling. seen it, and that's with the sororities and the fraternities. It's like a bond, a union. It's amazing.
Correct. And that's what really just spurred me to go and find out, do my research and see who these people were. And once I did my research and I found out these 10 amazing founders and what they had to go through, there was a lot of different racial divides that they were going through while they were trying to get their education. Our main founder, Elder Watson Diggs, he made sure, as well as Byron Kenan Armstrong, they made sure that they pushed through that. And it was a struggle, like all of us had, like we just finished talking about. It was a struggle that they went through. It was something that they were dealing with that they had to find the light out of. And I related to that, and I related to all of the different things that they were going through in their time. And guess what? At the end, they succeeded. They prevailed. They were able to get their education and help other African-American men get their education and put a bond and a connection between African-American men and women within the society that they were living in. So that was something I wanted to be a part of. And although the pledging process was extreme, we got through
was.
It.
I bet
we got through it.
And you definitely did that. I'm looking at your bio again. I am personally impressed with you because,
oh,
again, I know where you're from. I've lived there. you know, my mother is there, my family's there. I know I can see the streets. I know the mentality. But you are doing some amazing things in the community. I have to say that it is an honor and a blessing for me to know you. And if there's anything that, what is it you have coming up?
I have a few things coming up, actually. One, we have our CASA Walk of Hope, because April is going to be recognized as the, it's the National Awareness for Child Abuse Month. So we have CASA Walk of Hope coming up this coming April. The first week in April is going to be held on Friday at Girard Park in Lafayette, Louisiana. And we're just going to put on our colors for child abuse, which is blue, comfortable clothing, walk around the entire park with our signs, creative different signs, to let people know to speak out against child abuse. And then I'm also going to be working with E.J. Tyler. He's one of the radio personalities in Opelousas as well. They have a play coming up that focuses on bullying in the community. So we're going to be working on that as well, and I'm going to have more information on my website, on my social media platforms, about exactly when and where that's going to happen. And then my favorite thing of all, I have an upcoming show entitled The Morning Cup of Joe.
Yes.
That's going to be here in D.C. And this show is going to be focused on, Carla, everything from fashion, fun, festivals, food, entertainment, nonprofit organizations, and community involvement. And I cannot wait to put that on television to let everybody know exactly what goes on, not just in the Opelousas community, but all the communities around Acadiana.
And I am so looking forward to that, because being a frequent guest on your show for the fashion segment, we have so much fun. Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine what it's going to be like once it's taken out in the streets with our beautiful Creole Cajun residents here. So I'm looking forward to that. We have a couple of more minutes left. And, Joe, I just want to say thank you so very much. John, is there anything you would like to ask Joe before we close?
Actually, we got a little bit longer than that. Your time must be a little bit fast.
Check me on the air. Okay.
Well, I was going to jump in. And I wanted to piggyback on what Joe was talking about with the kids in the community, especially those that is in foster home. I can feel that. I just wanted to say this here. My mother died at my birth, okay? Mm. And I had to live with different family members. I had to leave home at a real, real young age. I left home at actually 18. I just turned 18 to go in the military. But you'd be surprised, man, how many children out there, you know, don't have their mother or don't have their father, and they are having some really bad mental issues because of that.
Right.
And I commend you for doing what you're doing, because when you was talking about that, you know, I felt the pain with some of those children that's going through, you know, to not have they actual, you know, parents to take care of them. You know, it's bad.
It's hard.
Well, a lot of times.
It every day.
Right, and I just want to say this too. A lot of times, it doesn't necessarily have to be foster parents, right, Joe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're correct. Mm-hmm. You're correct. And that's what we like to push within the organization, that it doesn't have to be that. It, you know, you can be anyone that stands up and say anything to them. You know, some of the foster parents that we actually get up in the system, you know, 50% of the time, you guys, we don't know if that parent is actually the best parent for them. They may appear on the outside to be a perfect angel, and then as soon as those doors close behind them, it becomes a different situation, because a lot of those parents are only looking for, you know what, the moolah. They're just looking for that check to come in, and they don't care about taking care of the child. They don't care about their well-being. And then what happens to that child? They're removed from that home, sent to another home. That home, they got to get removed from that home and sent to another. And that puts a lot of, like you just mentioned, Mr. John, a lot of emotional and mental pain on that child, and then they become very guarded. They can't trust anyone. They can't talk to anyone because they feel like that person is going to be a replica of what they've already dealt with before. And that's
my experience was like you get comfortable at a home, and then all of a sudden the next morning when you wake up, they're going to tell you where you be going somewhere else and stay. And then, you know, you pack your little bags, you know, put your clothes in a little bag, and then here you go. Jump in the car, you're going somewhere else. Now you got to, you know, get acquainted with everything that's around you. And that's hard for a child. You know, it's just that, I'm going to tell you, just that God, you understand, you know, really take care of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after they grow up and become adults, if they don't go the wrong way, you know, because a lot of them go the wrong way, they end up, you know, in jail or in prison or, you know, on drugs real bad. But a lot of them, you know, they, you know, God take care of them, and they turn out to be pretty good.
Correct. You know? And that's what something, you know, that I live by all the time. I always mention that for anyone going through anything, and it's a Bible scripture that I always relate back to, and it's a really short Bible scripture to where anybody can remember. It's from Chronicles 15:7, and it always goes by, it says, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." And I always live by that quote because it tells you about not giving up. Wow. No matter what you go through, no matter what obstacles you may face, you have to continue pushing through because God is not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you stranded. And whatever you're doing, it will be rewarded. The efforts that you're going through will be, and that's what I see every day. It may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow or next month, but it's going to come sooner or later, that you're going to see that everything that you put forward and all the work that you put into it, you're going to be rewarded for it. And I'm telling you guys, it is true, and it is something to believe in.
Wow, that's powerful.
That's all I have to say, Miss Carla.
You sure you ain't do something else?
That's
no,
it.
That's powerful. And this is why we are all connected. And this is why, you know, like-minded people attract like-minded people. I am a full believer of that. I believe in, you know, the Bible scripture, birds of a feather flock together. That is real. You are the company you keep. No ifs and buts about that. And I'm just, again, blessed that you are one of the companies that I'm keeping, and I am my brother's keeper. And the next time we're going to have you on the show, Joe, John, we're going to have him back. I want us to talk about, you know, how it's so important for women, whether we are younger women or older women, is, you know, continue to hold our brothers down, because I'm seeing a lot of that in our community. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe, because we're going to have your closing remarks.
Right. You're absolutely right, and that's what I continue to say, too, is not just us, it's collective effort from men and women of not just the African-American community, but, I mean, we really sit back and we try and put the bridge together between all nationalities and all different ethnicities.
Yes.
That's what I see a lot of. We don't see a lot of racism or a racist divide between African-Americans and them trying to form a relationship with Caucasians or with Muslims or with Asians. We are one of the ethnicities that really work and try and make sure we have that relationship with everybody, and with that, we don't have that slave mentality that we have to all just stick together within our own ethnicity. And that's what I like about us being African Americans and us with the whole culture, because Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, all of the Harriet Tubman, they did not die for any reason. They wanted us to all be collective and show that by joining forces, we're stronger together than we are apart. And that's what I love about it. And I would love to be back on the show to talk about how women can make sure that we continue to uplift our African-American men and how our African-American men can continue to uplift our African-American women. I would love that. So I really enjoyed myself today.
Awesome. All well,
right.
Thank you so much, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to end it on that note, Uplifting Community Talk Show, Louisiana, with Joe Sam. Check him out on Facebook. Joe Sam, check him out on the Morning News. Joe, KLAF, and John, do we have any closing remarks? We're good
that's
to go.
That's it. Okay.
All right. Well,
well
thank you
good
so
night.
Much, Joe.
Thank
all right. You
God.
Guys have a good
appreciate
night.
It.